Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. King Parikshit said, "My Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda." Can everyone say that name? Mukunda. "Whose valor is unlimited. O Brahman, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and who is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka?" Can you say that one? Uttama Shloka. "After hearing them repeatedly. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those that work for Him. A true mind is that which always remembers Him, dwelling within everything, moving and non-moving. Actual ears are those that listen to sanctifying topics about Him. An actual head is one that bows down to the Lord in His manifestations among the moving and non-moving creatures. Real eyes are those that see only the Lord, and actual limbs are those which regularly honor the water that has bathed the Lord's feet, or of those of His devotees." Sutta Goswami said, "Thus questioned by King Vishnurat, the powerful sage Badarayani replied, his heart fully absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva." Can you all say? Shukadeva Goswami said, "Lord Krishna had a certain Brahmin friend named Sudama, who was most learned in Vedic knowledge and detached from all sense enjoyment. Furthermore, his mind was peaceful and his senses subdued. Living as a householder, he maintained himself with whatever came of its own accord. The wife of that poorly dressed Brahmin suffered along with him and was emaciated from hunger. The chaste wife of the poverty-stricken Brahmin once approached him, her face dried up because of distress. Trembling with fear, she spoke as follows, 'O Brahmana, isn't it true that the husband of the goddess of fortune is the personal friend of your exalted self? The greatest of Yadavas, the Supreme Lord Krishna, is compassionate to Brahmins and very willingly to grant them his shelter. O fortunate one, please approach him. He is the real shelter of all saints. He will certainly give abundant wealth to such a suffering householder as you. Lord Krishna is now the ruler of the Bhojas, Vrishnis, and Andhakas, and is staying at Dvaraka. Since he gives even his own self to anyone who simply remembers his lotus feet, what doubt is there that he, the spiritual master of the universe, will bestow upon his sincere worshiper prosperity and material enjoyment, which are not even very desirable?'" Shukadeva Goswami continued, "When Sudama's wife thus repeatedly implored him in various ways, the Brahmin thought to himself, 'To see Lord Krishna is indeed the greatest achievement in life.' Thus Sudama decided to go. But first he told his wife, 'If there is anything in the house I can bring as a gift, please give it to me.' Sudama's wife begged 4 handfuls of flat rice from neighboring Brahmins. She tied up the rice in a torn piece of cloth and gave it to her husband as a present for Lord Krishna. Taking the flat rice, the saintly Brahmin set out for Dwaraka, all the while wondering, how will I be able to have Krishna's audience? The learned Brahmin, joined by some other local Brahmins, passed 3 guard stations and went through 3 gateways, and then he walked by the homes of Lord Krishna's faithful devotees, the Andakas and Vrishnis, which ordinarily no one could do. He then entered one of the opulent palaces belonging to Lord Hari's 16,108 queens. And when he did so, he felt as if he were attaining the bliss of liberation. At that time, Lord Achyuta, can you say that name? Achyuta, was seated on his consort's bed. Spotting the Brahmin at some distance, the Lord immediately stood up, went forward to meet him, and with great pleasure embraced him. Who would like to be embraced by Krishna? Try to see if you can think about that. Krishna embracing you. That day will come. The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahmin. And thus Krishna shed tears of love. Lord Krishna seated his friend Sudama upon the bed. Then the Lord, who purifies the whole world, personally offered him various tokens of respect and washed his feet. O King, after that, Krishna sprinkled the water on his own head. He anointed Sudama with divinely fragrant sandalwood, aguru, and kumkum pastes, and happily worshipped him with aromatic incense and rays of lamps. And after finally offering him betel nut and the gift of a cow, Krishna welcomed him with pleasing words. By fanning him with her chamara, we have a chamara there, that fan that's called chamara, the divine goddess of fortune personally served that poor Brahmin whose clothing was torn and dirty and who was so thin that veins were visible all over his body. The other people in the royal palace were astonished to see Krishna, the Lord of spotless glory, so lovingly honor this shabbily dressed Brahmin. The residents of the palace said, "What pious acts has this unkempt, impoverished Brahmin performed? People regard him as lowly and contemptible. Yet the spiritual master of the 3 worlds, the abode of Goddess Sri, is serving him reverently, leaving the Goddess of Fortune sitting on her bed. The Lord has embraced this Brahmin as if he were an older brother." And of course, we all know who Krishna's older brother is. Balaram. Everyone say. Shukadeva Goswami continued, taking each other's hands, Krishna and Sudama talked pleasantly about how they once lived together in the school of their guru. So this explains why Krishna was experiencing and why he was embracing him, and they have a history. They were schoolmates. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear Brahmin, you know well the ways of religion. After you offered the gift of remuneration to our guru and you returned home from school, did you marry a compatible wife or not? Even though you are mostly involved in household affairs, your mind is not affected by material desires, nor, O learned one, do you take much pleasure in the pursuit of material wealth. This I am well aware of. Having renounced all material propensities, which spring from my illusory energy, some people execute worldly duties with their minds undisturbed by mundane desires. They act as I do, just to instruct the general populace. My dear Brahman, do you remember how we lived together in our spiritual master's school? When a twice-born student has learned from the guru all that is to be learned, he can enjoy spiritual life which lies beyond all ignorance. My dear friend, one who gives a person physical birth is the first spiritual master, and one who initiates as a twice-born Brahman and engages in religious duty is indeed more directly one's spiritual master. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, such a person is as good as my own self. Certainly, O Brahman, of all the followers of the Varnashram system, those who take advantage of the words I speak in my form as the spiritual master, and who thus easily cross over the ocean of material existence, best understand their own true welfare. I, the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, Brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline as I am by faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. O Brahman, do you remember what happened to us while we were living with our spiritual master? Once our guru's wife sent us to fetch firewood, and after we entered the vast forest, an unseasonal storm arose with fierce wind and rain and harsh thunder. Then, as the sun set, the forest was covered by darkness in every direction, and with all the flooding, we could not distinguish high land from low. Constantly besieged by the powerful wind and rain, we lost our way amidst the flooding waters. We simply held each other's hands and in great distress wandered aimlessly about the forest. Our guru, Sandipani, understanding our predicament, set out after sunrise to search for us, and he found us in distress. Our guru said, "O my children, you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dedicated to me that you completely disregarded your own comfort. This indeed is the duty of all true disciples, to repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him with pure hearts their wealth and even their very lives. You boys are first-class Brahmins, and I am satisfied with you. May all your desires be fulfilled, and may the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning for you in this world or the next." Lord Krishna continued, "We had many similar experiences while living with our guru. Simply by the grace of the guru, a person can fulfill life's purpose and attain eternal peace." Sudama said, "What could I possibly have failed to achieve, O Lord of Lords, O Universal Teacher, since I was able to personally live with you, whose every desire is fulfilled while at the home of our spiritual master? O Almighty Lord, Your body comprises the absolute truth in the form of the Vedas and is thus the source of all auspicious goals of life. That you took up residence at the school of a spiritual master is simply one of your pastimes in which you play the role of a human being. Do you want to go hear part two? Are you liking this? Then we'll finish part two. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. Good. Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Hari Krishna perfectly knows the hearts of all living beings, and he is especially devoted to the Brahmins. And while the Supreme Lord, the goal of all saintly persons, conversed in this way with the best of the twice-born, he laughed and spoke the following words to that dear friend of his, the Brahman Sudama. And while smiling and looking upon him with affection, the Lord said, O Brahman, what gift have you brought me from home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. But even great offerings presented by non-devotees do not please me. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Did we offer that to Krishna today? Yes, we did. Shukadeva Goswami continued, even after being addressed in this way, the Brahmin felt too embarrassed to offer his palmfuls of flat rice to the husband of the goddess of fortune. He simply kept his head bowed in shame. Being the direct witness in the hearts of all living beings, Lord Krishna fully understood why Sudama had come to him. Thus Krishna thought, in the past, my friend has never worshipped me out of a desire for material opulence. But now he comes to me to satisfy his chaste and devoted wife. I will give him riches that even the immortal demigods cannot attain. Thinking like this, the Lord snatched from the Brahmin's garment the grains of flat rice tied up in an old piece of cloth and exclaimed, what is this? My friend, have you brought this for me? This gives me extreme pleasure. Indeed, these few grains of flat rice will satisfy not only me, but also the entire universe. So this here, what Krishna is saying, is the essence of bhakti. That if you can somehow or other satisfy God, actually, the whole universe will benefit. So the essence of bhakti is, we try to satisfy God, and if he's satisfied, everyone will benefit. After saying this, the Supreme Lord ate one palmful and was about to eat a second, when the devoted goddess Rukmini took hold of his hand. Rukmini said, this is more than enough, O soul of the universe, to secure him an abundance of all kinds of wealth in this world and the next. And after all, one's prosperity depends simply on your satisfaction. So just see, one little bit of rice that Krishna accepted from Sudama, you're going to see, as it says here, Rukmini said, secure him abundance of wealth in this world and the next. Just have to have a little bit of devotion. That's all you got to do. Shukadeva Goswami continued, the Brahmin spent that night in Lord Achyuta's palace after eating and drinking to his full satisfaction. He felt as if he had gone to the spiritual world. The next day, Sudama set off for home, while being honored by Krishna, who is the self-satisfied maintainer of the universe. There's a name for Krishna. He's known as Janardana. Everyone say. That means he maintains the whole universe. My dear king, the Brahmin felt greatly delighted as he walked along the road. Although he had apparently received no wealth from Lord Krishna, Sudama was too shy to beg for it on his own. So he simply returned home, feeling perfectly satisfied to have had the Supreme Lord's audience. Sudama thought, Lord Krishna is known to be devoted to the Brahmins, and now I have personally seen this devotion. Indeed, he who carries the goddess of fortune on his chest has embraced this poorest beggar, poor friend of a Brahmin. And who is Krishna? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences. Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. He treated me just like one of his own brothers, making me sit on the bed of his beloved consort. And because I was fatigued, his queen personally fanned me with a yak-tail chamara. Although he is the lord of all demigods and the object of worship for all Brahmins, he worshipped me as if I were a demigod myself. He massaged my feet and rendered other humble servants. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find, either in heaven, in liberation, in subterranean regions, or on earth. Thinking, if this poor wretch suddenly becomes rich, he will forget me in his intoxicating happiness, the compassionate Lord did not grant me even a little wealth. Thinking thus to himself, Sudama finally came to the place where his home stood. But that place was now crowded on all sides with towering celestial palaces rivaling the combined brilliance of the sun, fire, and the moon. There were splendorous courtyards and gardens, each filled with flocks of cooing birds and beautified by ponds in which Kumuda, Amboja, Kalara, and Utpala lotuses grew. Finely attired men and doe-eyed women stood there in attendance. Sudama wondered, what is all this? What is all this? Whose property is this? How has this all come about? As he continued to ponder in this way, the beautiful men and maidservants, as effulgent as demigods, came forward to greet their greatly fortunate master with loud song and instrumental music. When she heard that her husband had arrived, the Brahmin's wife quickly came out of the house in a jubilant flurry. She resembled the goddess of fortune herself, emerging from her divine abode. When the chaste lady saw her husband, her eyes filled with tears of love and eagerness. As she held her eyes closed, she solemnly bowed down to him, and in her heart she embraced him. Sudama was amazed to see his wife shining forth in the midst of maidservants adorned with jeweled lockets. She looked as effulgent as a demigoddess in her celestial airplane. With great pleasure, he took his wife with him and entered his house, where there were hundreds of gem-studded pillars, just as in the palace of Lord Mahendra. In Sudama's home were beds as soft and white as the foam of milk, with bedsteads made of ivory and ornamented with gold. There were couches with golden legs, as well as royal chamarafans, golden thrones, soft cushions, and gleaming canopies hung with strings of pearls. Upon the walls of sparkling crystal glass, inlaid with precious emeralds, shone jeweled lamps, and the women in that palace were all adorned with precious gems. As he viewed this luxurious opulence of all varieties, the Brahmin calmly reasoned to himself and his unexpected prosperity. Sudama thought, I have always been poor. Certainly, the only possible way that such an unfortunate person as myself could become suddenly rich is that Lord Krishna, the supremely opulent chief of the Yadu dynasty, has glanced upon me. After all, my friend Krishna, the most exalted of the Dasharathas, and the enjoyer of unlimited wealth, noticed that I secretly intended to beg from him. Thus, even though he said nothing about it when I stood before him, he actually bestowed upon me the most abundant riches. In this way, he acted just like a merciful rain cloud. The Lord considers even his greatest benedictions to be insignificant, while he magnifies even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotee. Thus, with pleasure, the Supreme Soul accepted a single palmful of the flat rice I brought him. The Lord is the supremely compassionate reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Life after life, may I serve him with love, friendship, and sympathy, and may I cultivate such firm attachment for him by the precious association of his devotees. To a devotee who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord will not grant the wonderful opulences of this world, namely kingly power and material assets. Indeed, in the Lord's infinite wisdom, the unborn Lord well knows how the intoxication of pride can cause the downfall of the wealthy. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus firmly fixing his determination by means of spiritual intelligence, Sudama remained absolutely devoted to Lord Krishna, who is the shelter of all living beings. Free from avarice, he enjoyed, together with his wife, the sense pleasures that had been bestowed upon him, always with the idea of eventually renouncing all sense gratification. Lord Hari is the God of all other gods. Lord Hari is the master of all sacrifices. Lord Hari is the supreme ruler. But he accepts the Brahmins as his masters, and so there exists no deity higher than them for him. Thus, seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahmin friend, Sudama, felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time, Sudama attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, which is the destination of great saints. The Lord always shows Brahmanas special favor. Here is the payoff for your coming tonight. Here's your benediction from Shukadeva Goswami. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here it comes. Anyone who hears this account of the Supreme Lord's kindness to Brahmanas will come to develop love for the Lord and thus become freed from the bondage of material work. So what that means is you're eventually all going to go to the kingdom of God. Do you want to go to the kingdom of God? Then say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama.